You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Sounds like there's a clock in that music. That clock already expired. Yesterday, 6 o'clock, trade deadline, Major League Baseball, come and gone. The Guardians adding nothing to the team that will help this playoff push, but also not subtracting anything from this team, Andy, that you would think would significantly help the playoff push. I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner's Andy Baskin. I say that because Shane Bieber hasn't pitched yet at the major league level, and it's August.
Okay.
And, you know, my fingers are crossed for Shane that he's good to go and everything else. He's had one setback with his situation. Sports Illustrated's Tom Verducci said the biggest gamble at the trade deadline was the Blue Jays trading for Shane Bieber.
Really?
Yep. Biggest risk, the Blue Jays trading for Shane Bieber.
Really?
Yep. Because of the fact that they're kind of counting on him to maybe be a force down the stretch here, and he hasn't pitched in the majors yet. And said if he's, you know, if he's Shane Bieber, like he used to be, he's their second or third starter come playoff time. But it's a big risk. And I think, well, that's an interesting thought. I don't know if it's a big risk or not.
I don't think that's a big risk. What really, if they lose and he can't pitch, then he's going to go back on the IR.
Yeah, but
or
it's
the DL.
But it's this. They made a move to add starting pitching with a guy who may not pitch for them. You would think he will. But there's no guarantee that he comes back, you know, like he used to be, strong, whatever. That's why Verducci says it's a risk. I think it's interesting. I don't think it's a risk.
I don't think so either.
I don't think it's a risk for the Guardians either, because they've been getting pretty good starting pitching, and yeah. I don't think it's it.
Somehow or another, the Blue Jays are in first place in the East, so they're doing something right.
Without question, but they went out to add starting pitching, and they've added a guy who may or may not be a big contributor for them down the stretch, and they're kind of banking on that. So I get that. Your Guardians didn't sell off their team.
Right.
Is that okay? Is that what you wanted, Guardians fans? They also didn't bring in anybody to help this year for this team. Not a soul. They traded away Paul Sewald. Paul's only pitched in a few games this year. I think it's 18 games. Mm-hmm. He's had some injury issues. I like Sewald. I think he's a good relief pitcher. We'll see what they get for him down the road. You never know. They could end up getting a player from Detroit who ends up becoming a good player here. But they kind of just stood pat, Andy. Okay. And I don't have an issue with that.
Okay, I want you to stand back for a second and just kind of look at the big picture. And let me ask you this question. What do they do in the offseason coming into this year? Virtually what? Virtually nothing.
They did virtually nothing in the offseason.
So what did they do at the trade deadline? It kind of mirrors what they did in the beginning of the season. Virtually nothing. So I don't think you should be surprised. In fact, we were so riled up about the thought of Kwan getting traded that the fact that he's still on the roster, I think most Guardians / Indian fans feel like this is a win. Like they didn't lose. You know, the dealer had, you know, I don't know. You're even. Dealer had 20, you had 20. Now we're walking away from the table. No harm, no foul. It's kind of how I see it.
Okay.
I'm not, I mean, the emotional part, of this is was yesterday, was going up and down, going, I wonder if they're getting rid of Kwan. Are they going to keep Kwan? And then we're sitting here trying to live on, you know, tweets and stories by reporters from all over the place. And as I said to you guys yesterday, the one thing you got to remember with this organization, and I think it stood pat, you know, ever before Chris Antonetti with Mark Shapiro, was there are only two kind of deals, ones that are done and ones that aren't. And they just didn't make any.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and I'm okay with it too. Because to me,
this team has played good baseball down as of late. They're knocking on the door. But I also don't think that there's enough here all the way around to justify a significant investment in this group right now. It's really, Andy, it's a real fine line. It's threading the needle. It's whichever thing, whatever cliche you want to throw in there. But I would have been a little disappointed had they thrown any significant future assets at a rental or somebody of not real significance to come in and help this team. I'm real comfortable with letting this crew play it out and see what they could do. And I also think, it would have been disappointing had you not received, for instance, if Kwan was actually out there and all the national guys were reporting there were talks going on. Well, there should be talks going on. And Chris Antonetti actually said yesterday, here's what we told Steven. We really appreciate him, but obviously so does the rest of Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
That's code for, boy, were we getting calls on you. Well, they should. That's what the trade deadline's all about. And the Guardians didn't hear what they wanted to hear.
I wonder how many calls they actually got, though.
I'm sure there were more than a few.
There were people trying to push the narrative. There's no question, because Morosi's not out there. And I'm just saying Morosi because he was probably the biggest.
And he was on our show earlier in the week.
Newsmaker yesterday, as far as Kwan was.
He did a good job.
He was getting information from somewhere that made him want to send things out on social media. Now, I don't think any of that was coming from here. That's me personally. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong. But someone was pushing an agenda yesterday and trying to see how far they could push the Guardians to let him go. And again,
either that, Andy,
they stood pat to their core principle, though. I think that if they had a bar that they were that's where the negotiation really starts, no one hit the bar. So,
and good for them is the way I look at it. Yesterday, Anthony Castrovince from MLB.com, who knows his stuff like crazy, gave a different perspective on Bieber that I hadn't given a whole lot of thought to be perfectly honest, and maybe I should have. But my thought had been, if Bieber was going to pick up his option for next year, then I wouldn't trade him. I would keep him and put him in this rotation. Anthony's perspective was maybe they didn't want him to pick up that option because it was for, I believe, $16 million, and he's yet to pitch. And you never know exactly what a guy is going to be when he comes back from the Tommy John surgery right away. And maybe they'd have been on the hook. I believe it would have been the second biggest salary on the hook for next year behind Jose Ramirez. Second biggest salary.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
for a guy who you didn't know what you were going to get out of. And Anthony thought that it behooved them, in their minds, to move him before you became on the hook for that. Different perspective on that, Andy. And I understand it. They also picked up a guy in Steven who immediately moves into the number seven spot on the top 30 prospects of the Guardians on MLB.com's list. And I thought that was really interesting. And not just number seven spot, he's now listed as the number one pitching prospect in the Guardians organization. Interesting.
All right, I like that. Now, he went to Arizona, right, to rehab. Is that what I was just hearing that this morning. That's what I heard. They want to make sure that he's good to go when he's out there. He's had a really good year.
He got called up to Double A, made one start with New Hampshire in the Eastern League, which is the same league that the Akron Rubber Ducks play in. And so when he's good to go, the assumption would be that he goes to Akron.
Okay.
And then, you know, Andy, as we all know, once you get to Double A, it's a real easy phone call to the majors. I mean, you see guys make the jump from Double A to the majors. Usually this organization will send a guy to finishing school in Triple A at least for a couple of weeks.
Sure.
You know, and give them a little exposure there before they bring them up. But, you know, you can bring guys up from Double A. That does happen. And so,
especially when it's closer than Triple A.
And think about, you know, what this means for next year. I would think that Cal Steven would be under consideration, depending on how he finishes this season, to be in this rotation maybe as soon as next year. And you see young guys coming up. You know, I don't want to, I'm just going to throw out a name, but I'm not comparing him to this guy. Paul Skeens quickly makes his way to the major leagues.
Yeah.
You know, Mizrowski in Milwaukee quickly makes his way to the major leagues. Chase Burns in Cincinnati, drafted last year, in the majors now. I mean, that happens with college pitchers especially. And Steven was a college pitcher. I don't mind the fact, folks, that the Guardians didn't sell off. In fact, good. I also don't mind that they didn't go all in, because I don't think this team is built for a deep playoff run right now. And I don't think some minor additions for future prospects was the way to go.
I also think that there's also a level of trust that when those guys walk back in when they go into the clubhouse, when your manager walks in there, there's a level of trust when you walk in there tonight and say, okay, we're back out on the field, and the front office could have easily messed this whole thing up, and because these guys seem like they're pretty tight. So I mean, he walks in there, he's like, front office believes in you, now you've got to prove it. So let's see what happens.
Roman in Canton, call 216-474-0092. Hey, Roman.
What's up, fellas? How are we doing?
Hey.
We're all right. What do you think about what did and didn't happen?
I honestly love it. I think what it says the most is that they believe in the prospects and the team that they have, and they didn't, like you said, they didn't blow it up, but they also didn't go all in thinking that they needed this much extra to make a run this year. And I think that also tells a lot what you know, Vogt has control.
Oh, we lose him?
Roman, we lost you somehow. We didn't touch you. Oh, there you are. Go ahead. Go. Last we heard was you said Vogt lost control.
No, Vogt has control of the locker room. And he has, you know, he has a voice in there saying, hey, these guys can do it. These guys, let's give them some more time. He's only in his second year, and we have a decently young team. So I have no problems with how everything played out yesterday. Unfortunate for Bieber, and, you know, we wish that we could have got more out of him. But, no, I think this is promising for the future.
All right, Roman, thank you very much. See, I think so too, Andy. The one, and we're going to get into this in a minute, The one thing that concerns me a little bit, I look at the future and I wonder if it's any brighter than what it is right now. Because I don't see a whole lot of help coming for the offense next year from within. Doesn't mean you can't get help for the offense, but I don't know that it's coming from within. We're going to get into that in a second. The fact that Shane Bieber came back rehabbed here, you basically paid him, you know, $7 million, whatever it is, for what you had to pay him to rehab here. and paid that to get a young pitcher who's one of the, as Jeff Passan of ESPN called him yesterday, pop-up breakout prospects of 2025. Because this is the first year of pro ball for Cal Steven. Now, does that mean he's going to, you know, become big-time prospect? You never know. The name Adam Miller was dropped on the show yesterday by someone who called. And if you remember, Adam was the number one pitching prospect in the organization for a couple of years and then had blisters on his right hand, on his fingers, and never materialized at the major league level because of it. So it doesn't take much. But you gave up a guy who hadn't pitched for you this year, might not have been here next year by either his choice or the team's, you know, because the team obviously traded him.
Oh, there's a financial part of that too with him. So
yeah. And maybe you get, maybe you end up getting a guy who can become a Shane Bieber type pitcher for you moving forward. It certainly profiles the same way coming out of college because Shane threw in the low 90s and, you know, could spin it. And that's the same thing with Cal Steven.
I just want to see how they react to this because if I'm in that clubhouse, I'm feeling pretty good about the fact that, you know, the front office brought these men together. They have the opportunity to continue to grow. They haven't taken that away from them. Yeah, there's one relief pitcher that got traded, but that, I mean, that's it wasn't somebody that I just don't know if the impact's the same as it's not. It's not the same as taking Kwan out of the lineup. You got somebody who's hitting that well in the bigs that's contributing every day. That is a key piece, and you decided to hang on to him. I know we laugh every year, Jeff, at that notion of, you know, sometimes not making a trade is the best trade that you can do. Psychologically, I think for the fan base, that was the best thing they could do yesterday. Because if Kwan would have been gone, it would have gone against all of their, a lot of their core principles of being able to have guys under control and being able to have them play for you for multiple years on a team-friendly contract. And if they would have walked away from that yesterday, it would have left everyone scratching their head going, now, wait a minute, you said you were this, but that didn't look like that.
What do you think, Guardians fans? 216-474-0092. Basically stood pat and said, go for it, guys. That's what they're going to try to do starting tonight. And what's this look like moving forward after no moves of significance for this year's team at the deadline? What's it look like moving forward? I bleak's not the word I'm going to use, but I'm wondering where the help's going to come from. It's Baskin and Phelps right here on The Fan. Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. Coming up at 11 o'clock, former Indians pitcher Jason Stanford going to join us. Anxious to get his thoughts. One thing in particular, man, the hot commodity of the trade deadline, relief pitching. Wasn't starting pitching, it was relief pitching. And, you know, like for instance, the Padres gave up the number three prospect in all of baseball for a closer. That's interesting. 40 relief pitchers were traded at the deadline. One of them might have been Emmanuel Clase, if Emmanuel were eligible to be traded, but of course he's not. I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy over there is Andy Baskin. I want to look at what, you know, the Guardians didn't go out and bring in any bats yesterday to help out the offense. And I did a little digging and looking down on in the farm system to see what might be coming. If you're looking for offensive help, you're probably looking outside the organization.
In the planting, is that what you were doing there?
Before we get to that, Big Al is in Canton, home of the Pro Football Hall of Fame weekend. Hello, Big Al.
Night. Nice crowd there last night, Big Al.
Yeah, sure was. I want to ask you guys a couple of questions.
Yep.
First off, if I was Dolan and I gave you guys $30 million to spend as a budget, after last year, you know, coming so close to getting to the World Series, do you think you? What do you think about that? Do you think you could do some damage with $30 million?
Just additional?
Yeah. In other words, I gave you $30 million extra on your budget.
Yeah, so probably so. Probably so.
If I didn't buy a new house or something, but yeah, sure.
Let me explain why I'm saying this. If you think about it, Antonetti spent basically $14 million. If you take Bieber to the end of the year. And he gets his option, 7.5 on Seawald, and then basically added $2 million to Santana's salary.
Yeah.
From Naylor.
I think it was actually three, but I see where you're going.
Okay, so everybody says Dolan's cheap. Well, I don't think Dolan's cheap. I think the front office has been great. I mean, I really But I need to make a point here to say the front office has just bombed what they spent this offseason. And that doesn't, and that's even me being kind and saying, okay, let's give Hedgie another $4 million the second year in a row. That's me being kind. So my question, the other thing that really irritates me is when they made that deal with Bieber, they were going to basically medically take care of him for pretty much the whole year, if you think about it. Even if he got back on the field mid-August.
You were thinking the earliest he would be back is July, certainly, Big Al.
Yeah, well, let's just, and it didn't happen. So
right, he had that setback.
But the bottom line is, who was going to give him that kind of money without saying, we want the team option, not a player option? For them to give him that deal, that much money, and basically give him the option to leave, I think was just ludicrous.
So we asked Anthony Kastrovitz that exact point that you made
yesterday.
Because
Andy and I made that point this week a couple of times.
So Anthony said to us, hey, look, that's kind of standard operating procedure. And if the Guardians didn't give him that option to give it to him, he probably would have gone to another team.
Which would have been okay because he didn't help this team anyhow, except he brings back a prospect. Yeah,
we totally agree with, like, how did he get the option, right? Is that what you're asking yourself? Because
especially, he should have been kind to us. We've had him the whole time. We've been rehabbing him. It should have been team option. He should have been no question on his side saying, hey, you guys have taken good care of me. I love the organization here. I'm going to give you, because one more year with us with a team option wouldn't have hurt him. He'd been 32 if he wanted to leave after next year. I think they really screwed that up. And plus they tied up close to, you know, half of the $30 million that he had to spend. Because nobody talks about what he had to spend, because basically he spent $30 million in the offseason. And really, to give Seawold $7 million, joke. The year before, to give Barlow $7 million, joke. To give those guys
look at the cost of pitching around Major League Baseball, Big Al.
Well, you had damage. Bottom line is, we didn't know what was going to happen with Bieber. And look what happened to Seawold. He was old. It wasn't like you got a younger guy that you're paying $7 million for.
I get that. Seawold actually with a good track record, though. You know, he'd been a closer in the past, and he obviously got injured. I don't know if you can sit here and say the Bieber thing didn't work. And as odd as it sounds, you might not be able to figure that out until you find out what happens with the guy that they ended up getting. Andy, they paid, let's just say, $7 million to get a guy who was a second-round draft choice the year before by the Toronto Blue Jays, who Chris Antonetti said, we wanted to get him in the draft, but we weren't in a position to do it. Well, now they got him, and it basically cost them $7, $8 million, whatever it was they had to pay Shane Bieber here so far this season.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way that goes, isn't it?
100%. 100%. I can understand how, you know, if you're in an organization that does have to watch every penny, that phone call is 100% right. It's like, what, huh? How do we end up?
It's interesting.
You know, when you go to close the book on the whole thing, or the books on it as an accountant's point of view, that was not very good.
All right. So I took a look at what's sitting in the organization now because they didn't bring in any bats. And that didn't happen. And the offense, as we all know, has struggled this year. It's been hot as of late. Maybe it stays hot the rest of the way. Sure hope so. Fingers crossed. But if you take a look at what's in the minors right now, Andy, the word you're going to, there are two words.
Here we both go. Start
with P.
Yep.
Process and patience.
Yep.
At catcher, you have Bo Naylor.
Right.
Bo has been swinging a little better bat. I'm not ready to give up on Bo Naylor. I like him. I think he'll be a better hitter, but we haven't seen a ton of it this year. They got a kid in AAA, Cody Huff, and Cooper Engel in AA. So there are a couple of young catchers who, in theory, could come up and...
This show's high on Engel, right? This show is high
on
Engel.
Well, I don't know.
I made a great case for him yesterday. I wasn't on board with any of it. I was just kind of like, what?
And then Jim Clark
all
did.
All of a sudden,
the AA,
you're like,
AA man for the Rubber Ducks, thought he can hit, and he's a 5'8 guy who swings a pretty good bat. And Cody Huff is hitting .222 in AAA. So that's what you have. One of those guys could come up and be your backup catcher next year, unless you think Austin Hedges is invaluable in the role that he's in. And they might feel that way because the pitching staff has done very well this year. And we can't sit here and tell you how much Austin Hedges has had to do with that, because we're not sitting there in the clubhouse every day. At first base next year, you have Kyle Manzardo. You don't have Carlos Santana. He's a free agent.
Are you sure they're not bringing Santana back?
No, I'm not, but I'm just saying this is where you sit right now.
I would think they're not bringing him back.
You're not bringing him back either. And then maybe you have C.J. Cephas there.
In fact,
there,
I'm still surprised he made it through yesterday, but maybe they just got no offer.
Oh, maybe there wasn't anything there for him.
Yeah.
And C.J. Cephas, who's a left-handed hitter, primarily plays first base.
Yep.
So you got two of the same guys, right? In theory. Second
so
base.
So you think you're going to be Manzardo and Cephas at first? I'm just up.
No, I think you're going to be Manzardo at first.
With Cephas as the backup?
I don't know what you're going to do with Cephas. But I think it's Manzardo. I think it's Kyle.
It should be Manzardo, shouldn't
it?
Well, I
think
it should
be.
Based on the expense, yeah.
Yeah, let him play 150 games next year.
Yeah.
Go, let him be out there. Second base next year. Juan Brito is still here. Juan's been hurt. Juan would have been the second baseman, I think, at the start of the season if he hadn't been hurt. And maybe we'll see him sooner rather than later.
Jeff, you know Rocchio is about to go on a tear at the end of the season just to mess up this conversation.
I hope so.
Just to mess up the conversation.
Could somebody go on a tear? Please. I'm all for that. And
I think
Brito gets a look until Bizana is ready. And could that be next year? Yeah, I think it could be next year. But I think he's going to have to finish real strong this year for that to happen. And if he gets hot in AA, he's playing in AA right now after missing that time with the oblique injury. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets hot, they bump him up to AAA. And then that puts him in prime position to be here next year. He could win that job in spring training. And I hope he does. And if he doesn't, I'll think, oh boy, only a matter of time. Because we're seeing guys from that draft class already in the majors. Third base, it's Jose.
That's easy. Yeah.
Shortstop. Is it Rocchio? Is it Gabe Arias? Is it Angel Anao, who is the guy, and it looks like Angel Genoa, but it's not, but it's Angel Anao. And he's playing in AA right now, and he's listed as one of the most highly rated prospects in this organization. So right now, I think you have three, not right now, you have Anao and Arias and Rocchio. So I think it's imperative for Rocchio or Arias to show something the rest of the way, or they're going to get threatened by a guy who's in AA right now and doing a pretty good job. He's in the same boat as Bizana. I honestly think your double a play combination could be playing in AA Akron right now. We'll see. I don't know if you can go rookies at both of those spots, but Rocchio and Arias have to show something because there's somebody knocking on the door. Center field.
And one was drafted number one overall. I mean, Jeff, we're going to see Bizana next year. How can we not?
If he doesn't perform well, Andy, you're not going to see him. But I think you'll see him next year. I agree with you.
All right.
But at the beginning of the year, it might be Brito.
I don't know how you can let him sit down there when you're watching other guys from that draft that we were talking about, top three, top four picks, already in the bigs. And now all of a sudden your guy's like not here yet?
Yeah. Come on. This gets scary a little bit. Your outfield. And it's been scary for years. Kwan is your left fielder, is he not?
Yeah, there's no doubt.
He has 2 years left.
Unless they trade him in the offseason.
Well, but if you're going to trade him, you needed to trade him yesterday because you weren't going to get better value for him than you were at the trade deadline.
Unless you see a team that could have great potential during the playoffs and lost because they didn't have a player like Kwan. You might be able to get them in the offseason and go, you know what? We screwed this thing up. We are not going to do that again. Let's go get him in the offseason.
Off-season price tag won't be as much as trade deadline price tag. Kwan said he wants to be here. He told the Plain Dealer, good story by Ethan Sands, I want to be here. I'd love to talk about an extension. My guess is the Guardians feel the same way, but you've got to go ahead and then find common ground.
So we'll start talking. Let's go.
Well, exactly. You got to find common ground. He's in left field. Center field next year. Angel Martinez? He's looked good.
I like him.
There are two guys in the minors. Khalil Watson, who was a first-round pick from Miami. They got him in the Josh Bell deal. They turned him into a center fielder. He's been moved up to AAA. Jim Clark told us about him yesterday.
There was talk that Martinez could have got moved yesterday, too. I read some stuff about that.
Well, I kind of like Martinez. Let's see. And then there's the other kid that they've been looking at for a couple of years, Petey Halpin, who's an outfielder who's playing in AAA. So there are three internal candidates for center field for next year. Can they hit? That's the question. Right field looks like a disaster again. Chase DeLauder. It doesn't.
It's not if DeLauder can land. It's not a disaster.
Yeah, but Andy, does his track record give you any confidence at all that he's going to be on this team next year? I would love to see him there. I would love to see him in center field. But his injury history tells you, man, it tells me this, if nothing else. If you're banking on him, you're making a mistake. And if you're thinking, well, let's see what he does, and maybe he can take that spot, well, good. Then that's the way to do it. But if you're banking on him, I think you're in trouble. Nolan Jones, glad they got him back. He hasn't shown that he deserves to be here next year. Jonathan Rodriguez, love his body build, love what he did in AAA. He hasn't shown he deserves to be here next year. John Kenzie Noel, so much fun last year. He hasn't shown that he deserves to be here next year.
And by the way, are we going to see a power hitting transition next year with some? I'm not saying
with some of the guys he drafted.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're going to get here next year, but at some point, the power's got to come to the top.
You could go platoon at DH next year with David Fry and Kafis, or Kafis could play a little first base. I wonder about that. That's the offensive side of it. Pitching wise next year, Andy, I think your rotation looks pretty solid. Don't you think? You got young guys who I think are doing a nice job this year.
Is Ortiz back next year? I don't know.
Well, with that, I'm not even
I'm just throwing him in the mix. I mean,
Class A or Ortiz. Okay. Until Major League Baseball tells me what they found out and what they're gonna do, they're out. Bibee, Kevin Williams, Ciccone, Logan Allen, Joey Cantillo. Now you have Steven, who you just picked up. You have Doug Nikhazy, who was a second-round pick. You have a guy named Parker Messick. You've got guys there that you would think you have enough candidates already for starting rotation. And the same thing in the bullpen. Don't forget, you have Trevor Stephan coming back. So you could have Steven and Stephan on this team next year.
Can't be any worse than Bibee and Bieber. So
don't forget Sam Henches is coming back, too. So you've got arms in the bullpen. Whether Class A's back or not, you have arms. But I think if you're looking for significant offensive improvement for next season, you got to keep your fingers crossed on DeLauder and Bazana, that he's ready to go, and that Manzardo can be an everyday first baseman, and maybe look outside the organization.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.